I've invited Bob Zimmer to come this morning and bring some words about welcome.
This is a day that had been set aside as Reconciling in Christ Sunday.
Requiem Sunday.
But the people who are on the worship committee decided we'd call it Welcome Sunday. We're always a welcoming church. You know, it's why we're all here. God commands us to welcome. If you'll notice in the music today, if you'll notice in the prayer today, there's a lot said about being welcoming. Our church joined the Reconciling in Christ movement about 1993, and things started moving then, synod-wide and the whole church-wide. I think when you make moves to make such drastic changes, you lose some and you gain some, as far as parishioners are concerned. And we did. We lost a lot of good people who couldn't understand what welcoming to gay and lesbian people was about, why we couldn't just keep them undercover like they've been for so long. Why do they have to come out in the open and be a total part of the church and taking part in its rites? Pastor was talking about fences. I used to look at the altar rail as a fence, wondering when I could come through that gate. And I think a lot of other people in the history of our church have probably felt the same. Why do we have to be treated differently? Why was that? I think about, you know, besides being a gay man, I'm also a person who's had HIV and AIDS since 1984. And as long as I've been gay, you know, Pastor used the word queer, and it's in the bulletin too. I have felt queer, I have felt odd, I have felt different. Not because I wanted to, but it's just the way that people made me feel. It was hard to feel normal. Coming to grips with that and the church is a much easier thing today, because this church, like many of the ELCA churches, treats us evenly. Today we can have the rites of the church. Today we can come through the gate. Today we can become ministers and be in same-sex relations. We can love another person of the same sex. These are all things that were taken, well, they took a lot of time to come about. Some people, you know, we had these family meetings about the sexuality study being done by the ELCA. And we kept wondering, is this going to work or is it not? Finally, it got to the full synod meeting in Minneapolis, and the resolution passed by one vote. And as Pastor likes to say, God bless that man who went to the bathroom. Yeah, he probably upset the whole vote, you know. But can you imagine anything being that close and passing? It's wonderful. It really is. In Corinthians today, it says, "Now I know only in part, when I will fully, even as I have been fully known, and for faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love." You know, I think that's a very wonderful thing to read today, because love is probably the most difficult. Faith is what we have. It's what we've been learning all our lives. Hope is what people give us, starting with our parents, our teachers, our pastors. They all give us hope. But love is a difficult thing, because people who are different than we are, it's hard to think of love. But I think we've come around not 180 degrees yet, but we're all moving in that direction. And the more love that's professed with all people, for all people, the more normal everything will be in life. A lot of people paid the price of reconciling in Christ. A lot of people took their faith to the altars. A lot of people became put against because of their thoughts and their ideas. But today I like to think of reconciling in Christ as a day that we honor all of them. Thank you.
So as usual, I reserved a little time for rebuttal. So, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson for today follows immediately after last week, where Jesus stood up and they handed him the scroll and he read from the prophet Isaiah about how he was called to bring sight to the blind and hope to the hopeless. And in a typical congregational way, that all sounded like good news to them. And they said, yes, this is great. You should do all those things. Sort of like, which every pastor's experienced when you're standing by the door shaking people's hands and someone walks out and said, boy, pastor, you really told them this Sunday. There's a little of that going on. Right up until the point that Jesus says to them, by the way, I'm talking about you. He says, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in a prophet's hometown. And he says, you know, the truth of it is that there were many, many widows in Jerusalem, and yet God did not send Elijah to them. Heaven had been shut up for 3 years. There was no rain and there was drought and famine. And yet, God did not send the prophet to Jerusalem, but to a widow in Zarephath. One not like you, a stranger. And again, he says, there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophets, and yet God did not heal any of them, but instead sent Elisha, healed Naaman the Syrian. So suddenly Jesus' words about being sent to proclaim liberty to the captives and sight for the blind and hope for the homeless begins to come home to them. When Jesus says, look, God is talking to you. And then they got mad. Suddenly, kind of theoretical, lovely little theological stuff that Jesus was doing didn't seem quite so benign. And what did they want to do? They took him outside to throw him off of a cliff. They were so angry. As long as we can keep the fences exactly where we want them, and if we can keep the in people in and the out people out, everything is just fine. But that's not what Jesus has in mind. You see, Jesus wants to make a gate where there was only a fence. Up until this point, of course, God's word had only been for the people of Jerusalem, for those who were in the in crowd, God's people. And suddenly Jesus is pointing out God has been in the life of all people. And the congregation revolted. Every time I hear this story, I think about these past 25 years. Bob mentioned in the first, you messed up my sermon. In this first time around, he talked about going to Synod Assembly. And at the first Synod Assembly he went to, he got food poisoning with Pastor Don. They were both really, really sick. And then one of the times you went with me. And it was one of the times that we were having our debate about full inclusion of gay, lesbian, and transgender people into the church. Now, The issue was not just, I mean, gay, lesbian, and transgender people have been welcome forever. What was so hard in 2009 was that suddenly we asked that gay, lesbian, and transgendered people be able to serve as pastors of our congregations while in lifelong committed relationships. And the fences went up everywhere. That just didn't seem okay to them. God's grace could not possibly extend quite that far. So Bob got food poisoning at one synod assembly, and he got word poisoning at the next one. And I remember we were sitting by the microphone, and I could literally feel the heat and the anger of this man, this pastor, standing there behind me waiting to talk at the microphone. For 20 years, I have gone to synod assemblies and I have watched my friends and people that I love vilify gay, lesbian, and transgendered people. It's hard to sit and listen to hatred come from the mouths of people that you thought you respected. It's hard to see a church erecting fences where gates are called for. And to not hear the grace of God available for all. But when you make a fence, when you make a gate, some cows get out. And you know, as painful as it's been, honestly, the problem with grace, and this is what happens with Jesus that day, the problem with announcing God's grace is folks aren't ready for it and they don't want to hear it. And sometimes when you announce that grace, people just leave. Opened up the gate and by God, I'm getting out. I had a dog that was that way. And so when we made that decision in 2009, our synod lost, statistically, percentage-wise, we were in the top three synods for losses. Four or five of our largest and wealthiest congregations in Orange County left. Now, in all fairness, some of them were already angry beforehand because we'd gotten into bed with the Episcopalians. And that really made them mad. And then we got into bed with the Episcopalians and they got mad. And then we got into bed with the queers and that was enough. All of which was simply a way to say that God's grace is poured out in such abundance that the gate has been opened and we've had to say farewell. But we've also gotten to say hello. And what a gift it is to say hello. I think perhaps more than almost any decision that this church has made over these many, many decades, we've been around for 115 years. I keep hoping I'm not going to close the place. For 115 years, and that decision to welcome has been such an incredible shaping experience for our congregation. This week I was with our bishop, and we talked about this because it's been hard on the bishops to be closing congregations and go to meetings and deal with people's anger and people's hate. But he said to us, you know, after 2009, I felt like we were finally the church God was calling us to be. And of course, me being me, I said, I don't think we're quite there yet. He says, well, what do you mean? I said, well, we haven't developed a right yet for gay marriage. Oh, okay, we can work a little harder at it. No, we're not where we need to be yet, and we're not finished because God is not finished with us yet. And that's what's so exciting and so energizing. that we have not arrived quite yet, but the gate has been opened and others have been gathered in, and there are still more welcomes to be made and more ways that we can share God's love and God's grace, more ways that we can pour out our resources for the sake of the environment and for justice and for peace. So much yet to do. But that's probably the bishop calling. Is that you, Larry? Oh, okay. I was going to say, we have a surgery for that if you need it. You know, we have so much more yet to do together, and it's so exciting to be part of a church that is more bent on building gates than building fences. And I pray that in God's word, that's what we will be about. Building gates of the Spirit to open and share God's ever-abundant love in our lives together. Straight or queer, black or white, Muslim or Jew, whatever. May we be those who clearly understand that God's scripture is being fulfilled in our hearing. Amen.